Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today at the Mishnah that you'll find 9 lines from the top of Daf Samach Zayin. Before we begin the text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which reads Kohen Shemes, a Kohen that died, Vihiniach Yelodim Ve'almona Mu'beres, and he left a widow, he left children, and a widow that was pregnant. Ma Hashpos Ha'ubor Al Ho'avodim Legabi Achilosom Ve'truma. What effect does the unborn have with regard to the rights of slaves of a Kohen to eat Truma? Now, we spoke about this at some length in our previous shiur, the issue of a Kohen who is entitled to Truma by virtue of the fact that he is a Kohen. Only Kohanim eat from Truma. However, those that the Kohen acquires also have a right to eat truma based on the pasuk Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo, a pasuk that we also saw in our previous shiur. The Kohen therefore entitles others to eat from truma, those that are connected to him. Let us now continue with the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael shenises l'kohen, a woman married a Kohen. She herself is not from a Kohen family. She married a Kohen, and while she was married to the Kohen, she was entitled to eat from Truma. Umes. Now the Kohen died. Vinicha Muberes. And he left her pregnant. The Rashi adds very important information here. Vinicha Muberes, Rashi says, 4 lines from the top. Afalpi Shieshlo Bonim Heimenu. The Ocheles Betruma, even though she herself has children from the Kohen, and as a result of her having what's called Zera Kohen, offspring, children, descendants from the Kohen, she, even though she herself is not from a Kohen family, she is entitled to eat Truma, to continue eating Truma. Nevertheless, Lo Yochlu Avdei Tzoin Barzel Betruma, the slaves that she brought into the marriage, and their value was recorded in the ksuba, in the marriage document, for which the husband had taken responsibility, those slaves cannot eat from the truma. Lefishahein shel yorshim. They belong to the heirs. V'yesh la'ubar bohen chelek. Amongst the heirs is considered the unborn as well. V'ein la'ubor koyach la'achilon betruma. We view the slaves as belonging to the heirs. Now the heirs are kohanim in this case. So that should be enough to enable the slaves to eat from the truma. However, the problem here is that amongst the heirs there's also an unborn. And an unborn, he is considered a part owner of the slaves. However, he is not significant enough to bestow truma consumption rights on those that he is part owner. So Rashi goes on to explain that the ein l'ubar koyach l'achilin betruma im mishum dekosovar ubar b'mei zora zarhu. It might be because the unborn in the womb of a woman who herself is not a kohenes, she's not the daughter of a kohen, So the unborn in the womb of a Zara, of a non-Kohenis, Zar who? He is considered a Zar. Now a Zar is a non-Kohen. Until he's born, he would be considered a non-Kohen, so he can't bestow Truma rights on the slaves. E Mishum, the Kosovar, another possibility of how we explain that the slaves don't eat, because of this Ubar, because the Ubar, the Kosovar Yiloid Ma'achil, someone who was born can entitle others to eat by virtue of the fact that he is an owner of them. She'ein Yilo, someone who was unborn, Ein Ma'achil, is not capable of bestowing Truma consumption rights on others. Shenemar Vilid Beiso Heim Yochlu Belachmo. The Pasuk says, those that are born eat from the Truma, Kri Bei, and the word Yochlu can also be read Ya'achilu, cause others to eat. So only if one is Yilid, is born already, unlike the Ubar. So now we continue in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just told us that since she was left, this woman who had been married to the Kohen was left pregnant, so the slaves do not partake of the Truma because of the Chelek of the Ubar, because of the portion owned by the Ubar in those slaves. Sha'ubar Poisel V'eino Ma'achil, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. There are two points that were just made. The Ubar Posel. That means, and Rashi explains this, that if you were dealing with a woman who herself was a Bas Kohen, she comes from a Kohen household, and she married a non-Kohen, she married Israel. And if a woman was married, a Bas Kohen was married, and her husband, the Israel, died, so if she is not pregnant, she goes back to her father's house and resumes eating truma like she did when she was unmarried. However, in the case of an ubar, that means she's pregnant. She's pregnant with the, we'll call it, with the seed of a non-Kohen. So Rashi says, "Sheubar posel im bas kohen nises Israel v'nicham uberes v'ein lo ben acher." And she has no other child. She's just pregnant with this fetus conceived from relations with her husband, the Yisrael. Poslo miloshuv lebeisovia kinura. It restrains her. It renders her. It disqualifies her from going back to her father's house to resume the eating of truma as she had done when she was unmarried. That's one point. That's the Ubar Posel. So, if you want to say it, Pekitsur, the Ubar is Posel, the Bas Kohen, from going back to her father's house and resuming the eating of Truma. Another point is Eino Ma'achil. That means, if you're dealing with a Bas Yisrael that was married to Kohen, and that Kohen husband died, and he left her pregnant, the Ubar is not considered as if she has an actual child that would enable her to eat the truma. She is left with just an ubar, just pregnant, so the ubar doesn't have the strength, even though it's the seed of a kohen, it doesn't have the strength to entitle her to eat truma. And likewise with regard to the slaves. That's Rabbi Yossi. We continue in the Mishnah. Omru loy me'achar she'adeto lanu al bas Yisrael l'kayin. Once you have informed us of the case of, as the Mishnah opened up, a bas Yisrael married to a kohen, af bas kohen l'kayin umeis v'nicham uberes, the same would apply to a daughter of a kohen that had married a kohen and he died, and the child, and she, the woman, was left pregnant. Lo yoichlu avodeha betruma. Her slaves shall not eat from the truma, ne chelkoi shel ubar, because of the portion or the share that the ubar, the unborn, has in those slaves. Let's take a look at Rashi on this as well. Ach bas kohen lekohen, kevon the amri, since you said she'ein yolud eino machil, the unborn is not capable of granting truma rights to others. Hech avodim oichlin betruma, how can the slaves eat from the truma b'nei chelka shelubar? Shere avod of hein, the slaves are considered his. He's considered an heir. The ein oichlim elo b'shvilo, and the slaves' right to eat would only be because they are owned by a kohen. For who ein bo koach lachil? He's unborn, so he doesn't have the power to cause to enable them to eat. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the topic heading, Birur Shitas Rabbi Yossi. We're going to investigate, look into Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Da'omar, Ubar Posel Veinu Machil. He described the Ubar as rendering the Bas Kohen as unfit to resume eating Truma from her father's house. And we also said that the Bas Yisrael that's pregnant with the Ubar from a Kohen, the Ubar is not Ma'achil. So our note continues, the Ubar is his situation, Imishum Ubar B'mei Zoro Zaru, is it because, and we saw this in Rashi earlier, is it because the Ubar, the fetus in a Zora, in a Bas Yisrael, is considered, it itself is the Ubar is considered a Zar until it's born. And as such, a Zar is a non-Kohen. He has no Truma rights himself, so certainly cannot enable others to eat. Or, Yolud Ma'achiloi, She'eno Yolud Eino Ma'achil. Or do we say that only one who is born is Ma'achil, enables others to eat? Someone who is as yet unborn does not enable others to eat. So now we turn back to the Gemara, Ibai Alaho. We ask, Taima de Rabbi Yossi, the reason for Rabbi Yossi, Mishum de Kosovar, is it because he holds Ubar b'mei Zoro Zarhu, the unborn, the Ubar, the fetus inside of the womb of a Bas Yisrael, is considered a Zar, and therefore the slaves cannot eat from Truma because their rights to eat Truma is only because they're owned by someone who is considered a Kohen. But this Ubar, who is an owner of the slaves, is not considered a Kohen. He's considered a Zar. Oy Dilma, Yolud Machil, Sheino Yolud, Eino Machil. Or is it a function of only he who is born? You might say that the unborn is considered a Kohen because he's from the seed of a Kohen, but he's unborn, so he can't cause others to eat. Only he was born causes others to eat. Lamai eat, of course, we emphasize we're talking about the eating of truma. Lamai nafgamina, leubar b'mei kohenes. The difference between these two explanations that we've labeled Aleph and Beis, the difference would manifest itself in a case of the unborn in the womb of a woman who herself is a bas kohen. If you say that the Ubar in a woman that's a Zar is itself considered a Zar, here it's in the womb of a Bas Kohen, so it's not a Zar. So that wouldn't be a restrictive factor if we're talking about an Ubar B'mei Kohenes. However, if you say that only he was born enables others to eat, he was as yet unborn, does not enable the others, in this case the slaves, to eat, so he's unborn, even though he's in the womb of a kohenes. So the Gemara leaves us with this question: what is the proper analysis? Is it Aleph or Beis? Omar Rabo, Hainu Taimu de Rabbi Yossi. The basis of Rabbi Yossi is the Kosovar, because he holds Uber Bemei Zora Zarhu. So Rabo represents one reason, and Rav Yosef represents the other. Omar Yolud Machil Shein Yolud Eino Machil. Only he was born causes others to eat. He was unborn, does not enable others to eat. So, as we said before, the point of difference between Rav and Rav Yosef will manifest itself in a case of a Bas Kohen who is left a widow pregnant from her husband, a Kohen. According to Rav Yosef, the slaves will not be able to eat simply because the Ubar is yet unborn and he is an owner of the slaves, but since he's unborn, they are not able to partake of the truma, being that their owner is as yet unborn. Meisvei, we raise a question, and you'll see that the question is focused on the opinion of Rav Yosef. The source begins, Omar Omru Lo L'Rav Yosi. The Chachomim said to Rav Yosi, we saw this in the Mishnah, once you told us, you testified to us concerning the case of a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Kohen and the husband died leaving her pregnant. Bas Kohen L'Kohen Mahu, what would the din be of a Bas Kohen who is married to a Kohen? Amar Lahem, now I made a slight error, this Tanaic source is not a quote from our Mishnah, even though the beginning of it appeared to be like that which we saw in the Mishnah here. The Rabbanon don't take a stance, they raise a question. Once you, Rabbi Yossi, told us about a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, who was left a widow and pregnant, the case of a Bas Kohen, L'Kohen Ma'u Omer Lahem, so Rabbi Yossi says to them, Zu Shomati, the case of the Bas Yisrael married to the Kohen, left pregnant, that I heard. And what did I hear? There's an Isur, there's a prohibition of the on the slaves to partake of the Truma. So that I heard. Zu lo shamati. But the case you're presenting of the Bas Kohen left pregnant, that I did not hear as prohibited, but rather mutter. They would be allowed to eat. So, e amris bishlama ubar b'me'e zora zarhu. If you take Rabba's approach that the unborn in the womb of a zora, of a non-kohenes, so hainu de ka'omar le, based on this, we understand Rabbi Yossi's response to them that zu shamati, the case of the pregnant Bas Yisrael, I heard as being usur. Bazu lo shamati, the case of the pregnant Bas Kohen being left a widow, that I did not hear. I didn't hear that as being usur, but rather that's mutter. Why? Because it's not an uber b'mei zora, it's an uber b'mei Bas Kohen. Eloi amris, yolud machil shein yolud ein machil. But if you take Rav Yosef's approach, that one who was born enables others to eat, one who is as yet unborn does not enable others to eat. My zu shomati vazu lo shomati. Why would Rabbi Yossi respond to the Rabbonah saying, this case I know is forbidden, the other case I don't know it to be forbidden. They're one and the same. Kashya. So this is a point of difficulty for Rav Yosef's position. Generally speaking, when you see the term kashya, it doesn't mean a total refutation, but it means it remains a point of difficulty. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Zu divrei Rav Yosi. Namely, that an ubar, that a fetus, an unborn, has zechiyah. Hey, zechiyah means that he is viewed as taking possession, of having ownership. Avo chachomim oimrim, yesh loy bonim, oichle mishum bonim. The chachomim say that when the Kohen dies, we described before a Bas Yisrael who was left pregnant, and we're focusing on the rights of the slaves to eat truma. So the Chachamim will say that if there are other sons, other heirs, so oichle mishum banim, the slaves will eat in the merit of the other sons that were left by the Kohen, they being heirs and viewed as owners of the slaves. The Ubar, and we emphasize, according to the Chachamim, the Ubar does not have a share. So the Ubar doesn't present a problem, according to the Chachamim. Ein loy bonim, if the deceased Kohen doesn't leave his own sons, so who are his heirs? His brothers. So oichlim mishum achim, the slaves will be able to eat in the merit of his brothers that are Kohanim. Ein loy achim, if you have a Kohen that died, leaving a widow, a Bas Yisrael, with slaves, and she's pregnant, and the Kohen doesn't have sons nor brothers, those slaves will eat oichlin mishum mishpacha kula. They will eat because he has some heir somewhere. The mishpacha, the extended family of the Kohen, according to the rules of inheritance, when there is no son, there is no brother, so there's extended family that are considered the heirs. And in their merit, the slaves will eat. And as we said, the Ubar does not pose a problem, and he doesn't pose a restriction. He doesn't represent a restrictive factor vis-a-vis the slaves and their ability to eat truma. In the statement made just a few lines up by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he said that this had been the opinion of Rav Yossi, that the Ubar has Zechiah, that the Ubar is considered being a part owner or an owner of the slaves. The Chachamim, we said, from Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that the Chachamim disagree in giving us the impression then that Shmuel doesn't hold like Rav Yossi, because he said, this is what Rav Yossi says, but the Chachamim, they tell us a different story. They tell us what in effect would be that the Ubar does not have Zechiah. So the Gemara asks, Zu velo sviro lei, when Shmuel said, this is the opinion of Rav Yossi, but the Chachamim, it indicates to us that Shmuel himself doesn't hold by Rav Yossi's conclusion. Rav Yossi's conclusion was that an Ubar has ownership. But this isn't true that Shmuel doesn't hold by Rav Yossi. Ha amar le Shmuel l'Rav Chana Bagdisa. Rav Shmuel once turned to Rav Chana Bagdisa. Two opinions. It's either it means he's an expert in Agodas or that he comes from Baghdad. So Rav Shmuel turned to Rav Chana and he said, "Poik aisi li bei asor. I want you to go out, gather for me 10 people, and I'm going to say something in the presence of 10. By saying something in the presence of 10, that's called pirsum dover. That's called promulgating or making something of public knowledge. So I want you to bring for me 10 people, the ema loch ban paya, that I'll be able to tell you in front of them, in their presence. Ban paya means in front of them." Hamezake leubar kana, one who grants something to an ubar. If one says to Mr. A, says to Mr. B, take this item, whatever it is, take it on behalf of the unborn. The unborn acquires. So we see that Shmuel is of the opinion that an ubar is zoiche in things. And in our sugya, he is zoiche in a portion of the slaves. Ella, the Gemara says, Zu usvira lei. When Shmuel says that this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion that an ubar has zechiah, that an ubar does have ownership, he's capable of owning. So what Shmuel is telling us is that's what Rabbi Yossi says, and I hold from that. Umay Komash Malon. So what is Shmuel's point? De pligi rabbonon ole de Rav Yossi. What Shmuel is, his point is to tell us that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yossi. That doesn't mean that Shmuel himself holds like the Chachamim, but rather Shmuel himself will rule like Rav Yossi. Question: Umi pligi? Is that so? Mosiv Rabbi Zakkai. There's another girsa that reads Va'omer Rabbi Zakkai. Zu Edus Heid Rabbi Yosi Mipishmaya Vavtolyun V'hodu Lo. This is testimony, that which we saw in the Mishnah. This is testimony that Rabbi Yosi said in the name of Shmaya Vavtolyun V'hodu Lo, and they conceded to him. So what do we see from here? That there really isn't any machlokes. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying something in, as testimony in the name of Shmaya Vavtayin, and the same source says Vahodulo. They conceded to him. Amar Ravashi, mi kotoni v'kiblu. Does it say that they accepted Rabbi Yossi? Vahodulo kotoni. They conceded to him. Not that they agree and paskin and rule like him, but they conceded to Rabbi Yossi, the mistaber tame, because his analysis is more likely, is more logical, if you will, and that the that being that an ubar is capable of ownership. Tonu Rabbanon. Here we have a Tanaic source, again featuring a case of a woman married to a Kohen, and the Kohen died. Hiniach Bonim, a Kohen died, leaving sons, left a widow, but she is not pregnant. Elu v'elu oichlin. The avodim, whether they be avde melug or avde tzoin barzel, both types of avodim are entitled to eat truma. Rashi points out, Elu v'elu avde melug v'avde tzoin barzel oichlin, d'avde melug oichlin b'shvila. The avde melug, those are avodim that the Kohen had not taken responsibility over their value, as we discussed in our previous shiur. They are considered owned by the woman, by the widow in this case. And they eat in her merit. Shehi ocheles bishvil bonea. And she is entitled to eat because she had sons. She has sons from a Kohen. The avdei tzon barzel oichlin bishvil bonim, and the avdei tzon barzel, which are considered the possession of the heirs, so they eat. The avdei tzon barzel eat because of the sons, and the sons, of course, are kohanim, and they, being the owners of the avdei tzon barzel, entitle those slaves to eat. Hinicha meuberes. We continue in the source, the second case. Hinicha meuberes. He left the widow pregnant. No sons. Elu v'elu ein oichlim. The avdei melug, as well as the avdei tzon barzel, are not entitled to eat from the truma. The Muberes, the pregnant woman, she is pregnant with a with an unborn. The unborn is an owner in the slaves. But he's unborn, so he doesn't grant them the ability to eat from the truma, nor does he grant the mother, who's a the mother who's a Bas Yisrael, to eat from truma either. He is as yet unborn. A third case, Hiniach Bonim v'hinicha meuberes. The Kohen died leaving sons, as well as leaving the wife pregnant. Avdei melug, those are the servants that belong to her. Oichlim kederech sheocheles. They eat as she, who is their owner, as she eats. And she eats because she has children from the Kohen. Avdei tzon barzel lo yochlu. The avdei tzon barzel, however, are not entitled to eat, but nei chelkoi shel ubar, because As we said, the Avdei Barzil are viewed as belonging to the heirs. Amongst the heirs is the unborn. And he has a chelik in them. He has a portion in them, in these servants. Sheubar posel, the ubar would prevent a bas kohen who is pregnant from a Yisrael, prevent her from going back to eating truma from her father's house. The eino machil, if you're dealing with a bas Yisrael who's pregnant from a kohen, the ubar does not entitle the bas Yisrael to eat truma, as opposed to if she had actual sons, born sons from the kohen, they would entitle her to eat truma. Again, we're talking that last comment is in a situation where she doesn't have any sons from the kohen. This the last scenario, though, is she does have sons, but in principle, a Bas Yisrael who is pregnant from a kohen, the Ubar himself on its own is not capable of enabling enabling her to eat from Truma. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Up till this point, we've seen Rabbi Yossi's presentation. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel quotes or says in the name of his father. And now this statement will have to wait later for the Gemara to analyze. Habas macheles haben eino machil. That's an obscure statement. Literally, it's a daughter entitles to eating of truma, a son does not. But that, as we will see later in the Gemara, is completely changed. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Zechorim Yochlu. There is a Rashi that says, and we have a little star right across from here, Zchorim Yochlu, Kula Nekevus Lo Yochlu, Im Yesh Zochor Babonim, if there is a male son, Oichlim Wavodim Bishvilo, the slaves will be able to eat because of him, Velo Chayshinun Lechelko Shel Ubar. This approach is different than Rabbi Yossi's approach, where he doesn't consider the Ubar restrictive factor. Now, why is it that he doesn't consider the Ubar a problem? And again, we must emphasize there are male sons. Why does the Ubar not present a problem? Deshemo nekevohi. First of all, the pregnancy might result in a female birth. V'ein lo chelek b'mokom ben, a female in the laws of inheritance doesn't receive anything when there are sons. V'im timtzel lomar zochor hu, and if you say that the fetus is a male, shema tapil, it might remain a stillborn, a miscarriage. Shekol hayodos, when you take the sum total of births, mechza zochor mechza nekevus. Half the live births are male, half are female. V'yesh shemapilus, and a certain amount of births result in miscarriages. Smoch mi'uto demapilos, you take this minority of miscarriages and attach it to lemechso dinekevus, to the 50% of living births that are female. Havlu zechor merim lirosh, the result of that is that that males that are fit to inherit, Mi'uta, they are a minority. Ula mi'uta loy chashinon. And as far as halacha, according to this opinion, we don't worry about that possibility. Kulon nekevus lo yochlu shemaye ubar zohar. If all of the children are female, then we say that the slaves cannot eat. And that we should, let's go back to the Gemara text. Reb Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Zechorim Yochlu, Kula Nekevus, if all of his children that he left were daughters, then Lo Yochlu, the slaves shall not eat. Shemo Yimtza Ubar Zohar, the fetus might turn out to be a male. The Ein Lebonos Bemokum HaBen Klum, and daughters do not receive anything when in the presence or when there is also a son that is there. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, according to the simple reading views the Ubar as capable of owning. However, when you have actual sons that are born there, we don't consider the Ubar, even though he's capable of owning, as representing a problem, as we saw in the Rashi presentation. The Gemara focuses on the end of this source and says, "My Irya Shemo Yimsa Ubar Zahar." Why in the source does it speak about when there are all nekevos, so the slaves don't eat because the Ubar might turn out to be a Zohar? Tepuk lei, why not learn out the nekeva nami posla? Even if the Ubar is a female, she will prevent the slaves from eating the truma. The Givon Rashi says, typically at the bottom line, typically the inami nekeva posla dekevan shekol oison shilafoneno nekevas. Since all of those that are in front of us in that last case, he had left daughters, living daughters. Those are the heiresses. Yesh leubar chelek bohen afilu hi nekeva. In the case when all the living children are female, the ubar, either way you look at things, the Ubar will be an heir. So why do you speak in the end that the slaves don't eat because the Ubar might be a male? The Gemara said, Tepuk lei denekev onami posle. Even if the Ubar were a female, it would be an heiress. And as we said before, an Ubar is incapable of granting others the right to eat truma. So the Gemara says, Chado v'oid komar. As far as understanding the source in Reb Shimon bar Yochai, really there are two reasons, one and something else. Chado d'nekevo nami posla. First of all, an Ubar that is female also would prevent the slaves from eating. V'yoid shemo yimtza ubo zohar. Furthermore, it might turn out that the ubar is a male. V'ein lebonois b'mokom aben klum. And the daughters would receive nothing in the presence of a son. We have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text, which you would align with the arrow a few lines up, so you see where this quote is coming from. The source said, Zechorim Yochlu. If a Kohen died leaving male children, the slaves are entitled to eat. Ah, Vo'iko Ubar. Is there not, in fact, also an unborn? In other words, we saw in the source, the last case that had been presented was a man, a Kohen, who died leaving sons and leaving a wife that's pregnant. So how can Reb Shimon bar Yochai entitle the Zechorim to eat when there is an Ubar? The Gemara answers, Kosovar, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Ein Choshishin Lemi'uta. Reb Shimon bar Yochai is of the opinion, we don't concern ourselves with the minority possibility of the fetus, the unborn, turning out to be a male capable of inheriting. And we explained this before. The chances of that Ubar turning out to be someone capable of inheriting in a situation where there are male children is a minority possibility, because half of the living births are female, and females would have no portion in the slaves to begin with. And even, and the other 50% of living births are male, but there's also a number, a percentage of births that are miscarriages, a miscarriage, we can see then retroactively was not capable of inheriting. And as a result of that, you would take the minority of miscarriages, attach that to the 50% chance of it being a female live birth, and you come out with the male live birth being a minority possibility. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is not choshesh, doesn't concern himself with that minority possibility. Hence, just to review the point in the source, if a kohen died leaving male children, so the slaves will be able to eat in their merit. Another approach to understand Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is that we would ordinarily take into consideration the miut, and that would be that the ubar is a male who eventually will turn out to be capable of inheriting. However, we can still get around the ubar problem. The avdinon le takanta. What is the ubar problem here? The ubar problem is that he is viewed as inheriting or having a portion in the slaves, and as a result of that, as a result of his being an ubar, so he prevents them from eating because he has a portion in those slaves, and we said an ubar is not ma'achil. However, if we can make it such that the ubar does not have a portion in the slaves, and only the living brothers that were born previously they're the exclusive owner of the slaves, so then we can understand why Reb Shimon ben Yochai says that if there are male children, the slaves will eat. So how do we get the ubar out of the picture? By enabling him to become an heir to another part of the estate, but not the slaves. So he doesn't have any holding in the slaves. That's the expression, the avdinon le takanta, we make a special provision for the ubar. Ki Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, similar to what Rav Nachman teaches, Yom Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Yisaymim Shivo Lachloik Benichsi Avim. Now, the halacha that Shmuel is telling us is not halacha stated with regard to an ubar, but it's a general idea that Yisaymim, these are orphans that come to divide their father's estate, based in Maminim Lohem Apotropos, based in, sets up an executor, Uborer Lohem Chelek Yofeh. And the executor chooses the best portion for each one of the heirs. Higdilu yicholim limchois, and when they mature, when they become bar mitzvah, so they can protest that which they had received from the apotropos. Rav Nachman didei omar higdilu ein yicholim limchois. Rav Nachman, instead of quoting Shmuel on his own, he says, he disagrees, and he says that when they become of age, they cannot protest regarding the portions that they received. Because if you would say that they can protest, so then of what significance or what strength does Basin have when they set up the apotropos? If what they set up can be undone, so it's making almost a mockery of Beisdin. The Gemara asks, Lema de Rav Nachman Tanoihi, should we say that Rav Nachman's position is in effect a machlokes Tanoim? And Rashi explains this. Let's look at it together. Lema de Rav Nachman Tanoihi, Midomar Rabbi Shimon, from the fact that Rav Shimon ben Yochai said in the source, Zechorim Yochlu, if there are male heirs, male sons of the kohen that died, so the slaves eat in their merit. And what about the ubar and his chelik in them? Well, mishum takanto de Rav Nachman. So in order to explain Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we had to employ this takana of Rav Nachman, where the court assigns to the ubar a portion of the inheritance from some other source, not from the slaves. So we explained Reb Shimon, who says Zechorim is Yochlu, and that the Ubar doesn't present a problem because of the Takona. We can infer then Mechlal de Tanakama the Omar Avdei Tzon Barzel lo yochlu, afilu betakanto komar. The Tanakama pointed out that the Avdei Tzon Barzel, if you look back in the Mishnah, after the number of that means the Tanaic source at the lower part of Omen Aleph. In case three, we saw Hiniach Bona Vinicha Muberes, the Avdei Tzon Barzel lo yochlu because of the Chelik of the Ubar. So apparently, according to the Tanakama, this takona of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel doesn't exist. So he doesn't hold from that, and they can't make divisions in the estate and apportion different parts until they become adults. So should we say that Rav Nachman's idea of Beis Din setting up an apotropos to have an estate of minors be distributed, be divided, apparently the Tanakama says that he would hold that it doesn't such a thing doesn't work, and as a result, the Ubar who becomes an owner in the a part owner of the slaves, he restricts the slaves from eating. The Gemara responds and says, Loi, we're not going to set up Rav Nachman as being a position that is not unanimously accepted. The Kulei Alma Islu Rav Nachman. Everyone accepts Rav Nachman. V'hocha b'choshishin l'mi'uta komiflegi. And here in the source, where we see the Tanakama did not employ the Takona, it is because we're choshesh for a mi'ut. What is that? So we take a look at Rashi. Lo de kuleyamo islu to Rav Nachman, vi'i de ovad lu takanto, and if a takona was made, in other words, they had assigned a special part of the inheritance to the ubar itself, excluding the slaves, in other words, he doesn't become a part owner in the slaves at all. So if a takona was made, hachi nami, the achli, the avdei tzon barzel would eat, afilu the Tanakama, even according to the Tanakama, even according to the first opinion, v'hacha b'delo ovu takanto pligi, and the source features a situation where the takona, or the provision for the ubar to inherit, to receive a portion, that was not made. V'koma Rabbi Shimon, yochlu v'lo chayesh l'miuta. Rabbi Shimon says, even though she's pregnant, but there are sons, the slaves are entitled to be in the merit of the sons, and we're not choshesh for the miut. What's the miut there? The miut that the ubar will turn out to be a zohar, that's a bar kayoma, and therefore we discount the fact that she is pregnant, and as we say, the ubar doesn't present a threat or a source of restriction. The Tanakama, Chayesh Lemiuta, the Tanakama does concern himself with the minority possibility that Ubar will be someone capable of inheriting. So having read the Rashi, we explain the Gemara's explanation of that the machlokes between the Tanakama and Shem Baruch Hoy is, are we choshesh for the miut? Just to review, according to the Tanakama, who is choshesh for the miut, therefore the Avdei Tzon Barzel are not entitled to eat of the truma because of the chelik, the portion owned by the ubar. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai does not factor in the fact that she's muberes, because the fact that the chances of the muberes resulting in a child capable of inheriting is a minority, and they don't take minority possibilities into consideration. That once again was that would be Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum Aviv. He says in the name of his father, Habas Ma'achil or Ma'acheles, Haben Eino Ma'achil, and we explained that was obscure. Maishno Ben Delo Ma'achil. Why is it that if there is a son that the Kohen left that the slaves do not eat in his merit, Mishum Chelko Shaluba, because of the portion that is owned by the Ubar as well. And we said already before that the Ubar is not Machil. Bas Nami, if he dies leaving a daughter and a pregnant wife, Lo Tachil, the daughter is not capable of enabling the Avodim to eat because of Mipnei Chelko Shalubar. So why does Rabbi Shmuel make a distinction? The Gemara answers, Omar Abaye, Hacha b'nechosim u'otim askinan. The scenario in this source is a situation where the man died leaving very little by way of an estate. That's nechosim mu'atim, limited property. And there is a takona de rabbonon that when a man dies leaving sons and daughters, midoraisa, daughters get nothing in inheritance. However, in order for the daughters to eventually be able to get married and have a dowry, so the halacha says that where a man dies leaving very little by way of property, midrabbanan, the daughters are the sole heiresses and the sons get nothing. So we said what we did by way of background, and here we go to explain the difference that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi makes between the person who leaves a daughter so the slaves will eat, and a son they will not eat. We're talking once again about nechasim u'otim. Ukugoyim di'ika ben bahadibas. And we're assuming that when he dies, when the Kohen father dies, he left a son and a daughter. And now we explain monafshach. Either way you look at things, e hai de ma'abra ben hu, if the unborn with which she is pregnant, the mother is pregnant, is a male, lo odif mehai dekoi, the ubar isn't going to be any stronger than the living son. And we said that since we're dealing with nechasim u'otim, sons don't get anything. So that the ubar isn't going to be any stronger. And since the living sons don't get anything, so they that's what we mean when we say the ben is not ma'achil. If the fetus is a daughter, amai ochlo, based on what would she inherit the estate with limited funds? Based on what will she inherit when she is there present with a son, with a brother of hers? So her eating of or participating in the estate is betakanto de rabbanon. She inherits only because of a rabbinic ruling. As far as the ubar is concerned, kamo de lo nofak la'avir oilom, as long as the ubar has not been born, lo tokinu rabbanon. The rabbanon don't make a takona for the ubar in the case of limited funds to inherit. So the Gemara continues with after hearing that explanation for Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and we set his statement up in a situation where first of all there are nechasim u'atim, and there is a son and a daughter, so the daughter being considered the heiress, so she enables the avodim to eat. However, the son does not enable the avodim to eat because the son in the chosim u'otim doesn't inherit anything. The issue was raised, what about the Ubar? Shouldn't he be a restrictive factor? So we explained that either way, the Ubar is not going to be a restrictive factor. If he turns out to be a male, well, he's not going to be any stronger than the born son. And the born son, since it's Nechas Motim, doesn't get anything. And if the Ubar turns out to be a daughter, well, the fact that the daughters have a holding in the property, in this case the estate, is because it's limited funds. They have holding because of a Takana Rabbanon. But as long as the Ubar hasn't been born yet, so there's no Takana Rabbanon for its benefit. The Gemara asks a question, lasts a couple of lines. B'mai ukimta, how did we set up the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi? B'nechasim mu'atim. So we said that he's addressing a case where there are very limited funds, a limited estate. Ema seifa. We would continue reading the source. And the seifa says, Shema yimtza ha'ubar zachar. The ubar might turn out to be a male. V'ein labonois b'mokoim ben klum. And daughters get nothing when there is a son. Adarabba, nechasim u'atim, if the source is, as we said before, we set it up as talking about a case where there was little property left when the father died. Debonois ninu, if anyone has a holding on it, it would be the daughters. So why does the Sefer say that ein lebonos b'mokim ben klum? If the source is talking about a case of a limited estate, the daughters are the only ones that inherit. The Gemara answers, Sefer Asan lechosim merubin. This Sefer that says shemo yimso uba zocher ein lebonos b'mokim ben klum is talking about a case where there is a large estate that's left. And in a case like that, so in fact the daughters get nothing. Question. Unechasim u'atim. Dibonos ninhu. When we speak about a limited estate, are you telling me that which remains belongs to the daughters? The Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Yisoymim. These are male orphans. Shikadmu mumachru b'nechasim u'atim, that they operated quickly and they sold properties in a nechasim u'atim situation. We say about them mashe machru machru, that the sale that they concluded is considered a sale, even though we're talking about a case where there are nechasim u'atim. V'yela mai bas dikotani. So what is the meaning of the word bas in the source? We have an arrow you can use to navigate here. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said in the name of his father, the bas is ma'achil. That means the daughter entitles the slaves to partake of the truma. But now, how can you say that in a nechasim u'atim situation, the daughter is responsible or enables the slaves to eat? The son, if he were to sell the properties, it's a binding sale, indicating to us that the daughter doesn't really have a holding in the properties. The ela mai bas dikotoni. It said in the source that bas machelis. Who is the bas? Aim. It's the mother, namely it's the wife, the female, the wife, and she is ma'achil, her own avdei malug. So when the source said above in the name of Shmuel Bar Yossi that habas ma'achil, the bas there is the wife, and ma'achil means the avdei malug, which are said to be hers. If that's the case, then Hainu Rabbi Yossi. It's then the same as the Reisha of the Brisa on Omid Aleph. This very information appeared under Rabbi Yossi's name, that a woman whose husband the Kohen died, and she was left with sons and left pregnant, so the Avdei Mulug eat, just like she was able to eat. She is the owner of the Avdei Mulug, and they entitle her to, they entitle, or she entitles her slaves to eat. So what are we to make of things? Is that that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is simply repeating that which we saw in the Reisha? The Gemara answers, Kula Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Katani Law. In fact, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is really the one behind the entire source. And it's, after all, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, when he spoke, he said information in the name of his father, at which point he said, Habas Machelis. And now we're explaining, Bas Machelis means that the widow herself enables her Avdei Mulug to eat. And by his saying that, we're discovering that the entire source was in fact taught by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah. Ha'ubar, there's a list of individuals, and each individual requires separate explanation. But first we'll read the list. Ha'ubar, the unborn, va'yavam, va'erusin, va'cheresh, u'ben teish shanim v'yomechad. All of these different cases, poislin v'lo ma'achilin. They can render someone or disqualify someone from eating truma, and likewise they don't enable someone to eat from truma. We take a look at the Rashi on the Mishnah. Ha'ubar posel bas kohen shenises Israel umes. You have the daughter of a kohen who married a non kohen, and the husband died. And he leaves her pregnant. So that is the case of this Bas Kohen, who now is disqualified from going back to her father's home and partaking of Truma. That's what a Ubar Posel, it disqualifies the mother. Rashi continues, Veinu Machil, Bas Yisrael, Shenises the Kohen, Umeis, Vinicha Muberes, a woman who is not from a Kohen family, married a Kohen, and the Kohen died, leaving her pregnant. So, in that state, it's different than a Bas Yisrael that has children from the Kohen. They enable her to eat. However, in this case, she's left pregnant, and the child, the pregnancy is not considered a born child, so hence she's disqualified from eating truma. Just to repeat that last point, just for the sake of accuracy, instead of saying disqualified, she simply is not entitled to eating truma in the merit of an ubar. The next Rashi, Vayavam Bas Kohen Shemeres Yavam Yisrael. The case here is a daughter of a Kohen who had married a man. We'll call him Ruvain. And Ruvain is a non-Kohen. He's a Yisrael. Ruvain dies, leaving no children, but leaving a brother and the wife. That's a Bas Kohen. So She's the daughter of a Kohen who's waiting for a Yavam, that's the Yisrael. Rashi continues, Postla mitrumas avia. The fact that she is waiting, or she's bound to a surviving brother-in-law that happens to be Yisrael, so that prevents her from eating the truma of her father's house. Ubas Yisrael shemeres liyavam kohen, eino ma'achila. And a woman who is a Bas Yisrael, who's waiting for a Yavam that's a Kayin, that is not enough of a bond to enable her, the Bas Yisrael, to eat from Truma. The next Rashi, Vo'erusin, Bas Kayin Mureses Yisrael, a woman who's the daughter of a Kayin, who entered Erusin with a Yisrael, renders her unfit from eating Truma. Bas Yisrael Mureses L'Kayin, a Bas Yisrael who, even though she has done Erusin with a Kayin, she entered the first stage of marriage with a Kayin, that does not enable her to eat Truma. The Mishnah made reference to a Ben Teish Shan V'Yomechad. Rashi says that will be explained later in the Gemara. We continue in the Mishnah. We haven't explained, but the details of the Mishnah will reveal also what is the issue concerning the Cheresh and the Ben Teish Shanim V'Yom Echad. Those, again, will be discussed later. So these examples are Poislin V'lo Machilin. They would render her, if she was a Bas Kohen, she would be prevented from going back to her father's house to resume eating of Truma. And if she's a Bas Yisrael, these do not entitle her to eat from Truma. The Mishnah continues, Sofek Shu Ben Teish Shanim V'Yom Echad, Sofek She'enoi. Rashi explains, Sofek Shu Ben Teisha Sofek She'eno, Havi Nami Keben Teisha U'Posel V'Amilsa D'Leo Koi. This phrase is going on that which we had seen earlier in the Mishnah. Another case of a suffix. Suffix hevi shtei sairas, suffix shelo hevi. There's a doubt as to whether or not the orus had produced two hairs. We spoke before about erusin is capable of pasaling and not machil. So this case of Sofek Shevi Shtei Saras is a case of a fellow, a young man, who might still be a katan, still be a minor, who was Mekadesh a woman, and we don't know if he produced the two pubic hairs indicating adulthood or not. So the Kiddushin that he did with the woman is a doubt. Because if he did not produce the hairs, so he's considered a minor, and a minor does not create kiddushin, doesn't create marriage. So if you have a Bas Kohen that married, that did erusin with this chap, so this will passel her from continuing to eat truma of her father's house. So that's the case of the Sofek Hevi Shtei Sairas Sofek Lo Hevi. And there's another case that the Mishnah features, Nofal Habayis Olo V'Al Bas Ochiv V'Ein Yodua E Ze Meis Rishon. Now this is not a Truma related issue, but rather it's a Yibum related issue. There's a house that collapsed on Reuven and his wife, who was the daughter of Shimon. Reuven has a co-wife that remains alive. We don't know, when the house collapsed, who died first. Did Reuven die first, or did the daughter of Shimon die first? Shimon obviously is not going to do Yibum with his daughter, and if, as the first mission in the Masechta described, if Reuven dies leaving the daughter of Shimon and a co-wife, the co-wife is also exempt from Yibum because she's the co-wife of an Erva. However, if the daughter of Shimon actually died before her husband Reuven, so the Erva, Bas Shimon, is out of the picture. She doesn't present an exemption for the co-wife. So if the Bas Shimon, if the Erva died first, so that Sarah, the co-wife, will be obligated to do Yibum. However, if the husband died first, Reuven died first, so at that moment you have an erva to Shimon, namely his own daughter, and the co-wife falling to Yibum. And since at the moment that they fell to Yibum, Shimon would have been exempt, and the Tzora would be exempt, so we are in doubt. We're in doubt who died first. So that the Mishnah goes on to say, we'll just read that third case, the Gimel case again. Nofal habayas olavi albas achiv v'ein yodua e zemeis rishon. And we don't know who died first. So tzorosa chaylezes velo misyabemes. The co-wife will do chalitza, but not enter Yibum, because it could be that there's total exemption, and that, as we said before, would be if the husband died first. As we look ahead into the Gemara, we notice some markings. On the side of the Gemara, we see the Nosei Mivne heading. Notice the triangle. It represents a series of, it's a Hesber, Shel Dalid Hadugmois, Shebetchilas HaMishnah. Each one of the four examples that were at the beginning of the Mishnah will be explained what was common to those examples. Shepoislin velo ma'achilin. They, in one case, they render the woman unfit, disqualifying her from Truma, and in the other case, they do not enable her to partake of Truma. The double underline you'll see is used to highlight Havlotas Bas Kayin or Bas Yisrael. Now maybe one more point, and we have a dashed underlining that we use, Hadgoshas Posil Velo Machil. These expressions, Posil or Lo Machil, will be emphasized with these, with the dashed underlining. Now the Gemara. Ha'ubar. We said an unborn. And again, it's a case of a woman who became a widow and was left pregnant. So what is the meaning of the ubar is posel and not machil? Well, there are two cases. E bas kohen liyisrael he, if she was the daughter of a kohen who was married to Yisrael, and she's pregnant with her deceased husband's seed, so then posel law, the ubar renders her unqualified to resume the consumption of truma from her father's house. A widow who is left a widow without pregnancy, and she happened to have been married to Yisrael, but she herself is a bas kayin, so she would have gone back to her father's house and resumed the eating of truma. But now, not so. She was left pregnant. The pasuk says, "Vishova el beis oviha kinu reha." She goes back to her father's house as she was when a young maiden. So that expression of kinureh is prat limuberes. It's to the exclusion of her being left as a non-na'ara. The term nureh implies someone that's not pregnant. Ibas Yisrael l'kayinhi, if it's a case of a widow who herself was the daughter of a non-kohen. She married a kohen, and she was left a widow, pregnant. Lo machila. The ubar is not considered a born child of the kohen, so the ubar does not entitle her to partake of truma, in contrast to a bas Yisrael that married a kohen and had an actual born children, she would eat. But in the case where she's left pregnant, the ubar does not entitle her to eat. That's what we mean, lo machilah. Why? Yalud machil. A born child enables the mother to eat. She'eno yalud, as yet unborn, eno machil, doesn't enable her to eat of the truma. Hayavam? What's the case of the woman left a widow waiting for Yibum with her brother-in-law? E bas kohen li Yisrael hi. If the woman was herself the daughter of a kohen, but the surviving brother, the husband's surviving brother, is a Yisrael, so pasil law. The Yavam prevents her from going back to her father's house to eat truma. The pasuk says v'shova el beis aviha. When does an almona eat from the truma's beis aviha? When she's able to go back home. Prat l'shomeres yavam. The shomeres yavam is restricted. Rashi at the bottom line says v'shova prat l'shomeres yavam she'ena birshusa l'shuv. It's not in her capacity to go back to her father's house. To agidobe, she's bound to the yavam. The Gemara continues e bas Yisrael l'kayini. If the widow, the yavama, is the daughter of a Yisrael, of a non kohen, and the yavam is a kohen, lo machila, he, though he's a kohen, but he doesn't entitle her to eat truma. Kinyan kaspoi omar rachmona. The pasuk speaks about kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspoi. When a kohen acquires with his own funds a mate, so he enables her to eat. But here, the yavam is not the one that acquired her. V'ha kinyan de achivhu. It's not a kinyan of his own money. It's a kinyan established by his brother's money. So she doesn't fall under into the category of people qualified to eat truma through their spouse. Her actual spouse is dead, and the yavam doesn't enable her, doesn't qualify her to partake of truma. Va'erusin. What's the case of erusin? E bas kayin liyisrael hi. If it's the daughter of a kayin who married, first stage of marriage is called erusin, and the husband is a Yisrael. So pasil law. This disqualifies her from eating truma, from continuing to eat truma from her father's house. Deha kanya bahavaya. He acquires her. The word havaya is the verb form of to be, which is based on the pasuk, and Rashi quotes this at the top, from the time that he makes the initial acquisition. Kinyan is the bonding force that he makes with her. At that moment, she is then bound to a Yisrael. And the pasuk says, "Obas kain ki sihiye liish zar." Obas kain, when she becomes to a non kohen, becomes to means she is wedded by a non kohen, so she cannot eat truma anymore, as long as she's bound to the non kohen husband. So the kanya bahavaya, as we said, is a reference to the pasuk that we just read from the Rashi at the top line. The e bas Yisrael l'kayin he. If it's a case of erusin of a bas Yisrael to a kayin, lo machila, he does not enable her to eat from truma, even though on a Torah level the kohen would enable the arusa to eat, but she's not in his home yet. It's erusin. This bas Yisrael is still living in the home with her father and her brothers, and if she were to receive truma portions, she might end up giving from her food stock, her truma food stock, to her brothers who are not kehanim and quite forbidden in participating or partaking of truma. So this idea is again rabbinic intervention that states that the bas Yisrael that is nisarsa to a kohen, she does not, that erusin does not entitle her to eat, that mishum de'ula, based on Ula's teaching, which is, as we just said, it's a gzeira. It's a rabbinic restriction, so that she doesn't come to feed her family members, their non-Kohanim, with the truma. V'hachirish. The chirish is the deaf mute. I bas kohen liyisrael hi. If you're dealing with a bas kohen, the daughter of a kohen who is married to a chirish, who is a non-kohen, so posil law, this bond renders her unfit to eat truma. The hokanya betakanta de rabban, even though a chirish does not actually acquire things, he's lacking das, he's lacking awareness, nevertheless the Rabbonon, the rabbis enabled him, granted a cherish powers of kinyan, of acquisition. So since it's a bas kohen going to a Yisrael, that's marrying a Yisrael who's a cherish, on a rabbinic level his kinyan is considered a kinyan, and therefore paralleling the pasuk we saw before, bas kohen ki siel ish zor, so she no longer can eat from the truma of her father's house. V'i bas Yisrael l'kayen hi, if you're talking about a cheresh who happens to be a kayen, so lo ma'achil, this kayen who's a cheresh does not enable her to eat truma, because kinyan kasvay rachmona, the Torah talks about his acquisition, the kayen's acquisition. V'hai lav bar kinyan hu, a kayen who's a cheresh is not capable of establishing a kinyan. Therefore, he's not capable of granting this Bas Yisrael wife of his the right to eat truma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.